about everything. You can find pumpkin spice deodorant or even pumpkin spice bathroom wipes.
A young golfer hit a hole-in-one on the final swing of his high school career. The Massachusetts teen heard it land and heard the crowd cheer. It was the first of his career. Owen McCall says he's been playing golf for as long as he can remember. And now he has memories that will last him and his family a lifetime. I'm Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
I don't feel so good.
You do feel hot. DayQuil Kids will take care of that fever.
What about my cough?
DayQuil Kids has that covered.
Will it make my throat feel better?
Yes, that too.
But will it taste good?
Yep, DayQuil Kids comes in your favorite flavor.
Purple?
Well, yes, it's grape.
Try new DayQuil Kids Plus Fever, the daytime coughing, aching, sore throat fever just for kids medicine. Safe for kids 6 plus. Use as directed.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag...
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street at Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best of new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department, whether it's inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online. SunburyMotors.com. I heard that story on the news about the youngster in Massachusetts with the hole-in-one. I only witnessed one hole-in-one in my life. It was Jack Ham. Jack and I were playing at Sunny Hanna on the 10th hole. He had a pitching wedge left side, trundled down. I'm going to tee up the ball, and we're going, where's your ball? Like, it disappeared in the hole. Like, that was great. Well, we'll keep it on the Steeler theme and bring in Rob King, who's just done a tremendous job as the play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Rob, welcome back. I know we have a limited window with you. Thanks so much for the time.
Oh, Steve, thank you. Anytime, and always great to be on with you.
All right, so let's start with Justin Fields. What has he, in your eyes, done well that's allowed the Steelers to win?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I mean, I think that he has made good decisions. He's taking care of the football for the most part. He's got a great touchdown to interception ratio. You know, the Steelers have won games, Steve, as I'm sure you're well aware of, since the beginning of last year. They're 11-4, I believe, in one score games. A crazy record, because Mike Tomlin knows how to win those games. He's comfortable being in those games. And what he's asking of Justin Fields this year, what he asked of his quarterbacks last year, was don't turn the ball over. You know, try to control the clock a little. The Steelers have done a better job of it in the early throws of this season they did last year. But don't turn the ball over. We've got a great defense. Give them the opportunity to help us win the game. Don't put them behind the eight ball. For the most part, he did that, plus the legs. I mean, his ability to run, you know, this is a guy who's a weapon running the ball. He's not a, you know, and I'm not disparaging anybody. I mean, some guys are just, you know, good at getting out and getting a few yards. He's in the mode of he can hurt you with his legs. And I think that they've been able to maximize those two things, and that's a big reason that they have the 4-2 record.
All right, so the door might be open on Russell Wilson. If it were open, what do you think? You know, what do you think, just based on the body of work in his career, Wilson could do?
Well, that's a great question, and again, Steve, and I think that, you know, the biggest concern I have for Russell Wilson is just knocking the rust off. Look, he's a 9-time Pro Bowler. He's a veteran quarterback. But he hasn't played an NFL game in quite some time. You know, I think a lot of people were critical of the Falcons' decision not to use Kirk Cousins in the preseason because Cousins, you know, had the ghastly injury last year, and you know, they didn't. He missed the last half of the season, didn't play in the preseason, and then there were some who said, "Hey, listen, he was rusty in that loss to the Steelers." So, I mean, I think that there is legitimate concern that there could be some rust for Russell Wilson. But I think what he brings, this is a 9-time Pro Bowl quarterback and a Super Bowl champion. The Steelers acquired him because their mandate now, as it always has been, is to win now. It is not about 7 years from now, 14 years from now. Of course, that some of that takes part in your thinking, obviously. But just to simplify it, they're about getting to the playoffs and winning games in the playoffs. And, you know, Mike Tomlin said Justin Fields has been good. They're looking for great. And I think they're thinking, you know, it'll be interesting to see if their approach changes a little bit, Steve. I do think they still want the quarterback to minimize mistakes, but will there be more freedom for Russell Wilson to operate? I think that's one of the things that I'll be looking for if he's the quarterback on Sunday. And it certainly appears to be trending in that direction, although, of course, no official word has been forthcoming from the Steelers.
Right, exactly. I believe the Steelers are +7 on the giveaway takeaway scale to this point. You, in the beginning, you gave a great answer, Rob, about the formula that they've used to craft the 4-2 record. How important has that part, the +7, been to the formula to make it work?
Yeah, it's been a huge part because, again, that's, you know, and they just really haven't had the firepower. And particularly looking at the quarterback position, they just have not had the firepower to be able to come out and score a bunch of points. And I think that if it does point to Russell Wilson, I think the expectation is that when needed, he will give them that firepower. I don't see any real reason to deviate terribly from the formula for success, which again is, you know, try to control the clock. And again, when you turn the ball over, you are allowing the other team to have the ball, and so that gives them a little bit of an edge in time of possession. The one game in which that backfired, which that didn't prove to be the case, you know, you took a +3 and you added up some other things. You didn't come up with the right equation. The answer to the equation was the Cowboys game. They forced three turnovers in that game, didn't turn one over to the last play of the game when it was just, you know, razzle-dazzle time and try to pull a rabbit out of a hat. So I do think, Steve, it is extremely important to their formula for success, winning the special teams battle if they can, certainly winning the turnover battle, and then also, you know, with that, you know, just having the character to score some points on offense to allow the defense to do what it does best. I would still love to see this defense. I would love to see T.J. Watt at some point in his career, like soon, be able to do what we've seen so many great pass rushers in Steelers history do, and that is be able to pin his ears back in the fourth quarter when you're up by 10 points and you got, you know, Renegades playing and the towels are swirling and the other team has to pass and everybody knows it. And in the pass, it's here comes James Harrison, here comes Joey Porter, and on with the great pass rushers. That really hasn't been the case in T.J. Watt's career. Think about how many more sacks he might be able to come up with under that scenario.
No question. You know, in other words, let's have some fun. They have to throw Here I Come. And Watt would be tremendous in that spot. One thing about the Raider game, Najee Harris not only had a big day running, he scored a rushing touchdown. Just psychologically, what did that do for him and everybody?
I think it's got to be good for the team to show that they can score in other ways. You know, one of the big issues early on is that the Steelers have had far too many field goals. You know, they need to they need to be alchemists. They need to turn 3 into 7. And they just have not been able to do that consistently enough. And it's one of the reasons that the scoring is down. Now, Arthur Smith made a really good point. You know, you knelt down at the end of the Chargers game. You could have punched it in from the 1 and added another point per game to your total and moved up in those rankings. The Steelers don't care. They just don't care about stuff like that. They only care about getting out of the stadium with this game and this win. They're really laser focused about that. You know, how do we win this game, and how do we? Do you think that along the way, Steve, to your point, you want to pick up some victories, some moral victories, some things that keep everybody going. And I do think a rushing touchdown for Najee Harris, who clearly had his best game against the Raiders, and the offensive line did what they should have done, I think. And even as banged up as the Steelers' offensive line is, you know, the Raiders were without their best interior defender in the game. And I do think it is good to be able to do that. And I think the next, you know, domino to fall would be to get George Pickens in the end zone and build that confidence and get things rolling.
Yeah, that's what I tell everybody, Rob, all the time, that, you know, they ask me differences between the college and the pro game, besides the fact that the pros have, like, everything's whittled down. This is the best talent. I said, college, we'll find out with a 12-team playoff how it goes. But style points mean something in college. In the NFL, style points are the final score. Like, that's it.
That's right.
Won the game, moved on. Okay, so now you get the first look of anybody at Davante Adams joining forces with Aaron Rodgers. So, just, what's your thought on the Jets to this point? I mean, you've looked at video. What do you think?
I don't think it. You know, they have been a player. And you're right, I have looked at video. I've seen, I think, five of their six games, and I'll look at the sixth game later today. You know, they've been close in most of their games. They've had opportunities to win a lot of them. And I do think, you would have to characterize the Jets right now as one of the more disappointing teams in the NFL, because a lot of people were predicting that they were going to win the Super Bowl, get to the Super Bowl, and there are people picking them to win the Super Bowl this year. So I think, you know, it's a very talented defense that the Jets have, very talented. And they can be a nightmare in the passing game in particular. You don't want to get into long down situations. They have a great pass rush. They have extremely active, fast inside linebackers. Yeah. They've got Sauce Gardner, who might be the best cover corner in the league. On the other side, they have DJ Reed. Now, DJ Reed and Michael Carter, the nickelback, look like they're both going to be out of this game. So that does hurt the Jets a little bit, but they still have a ton of talent on defense. And now this is clearly Aaron Rodgers' team. And I think that they are an extremely desperate team. On paper and at times watching tape, they look great. This is a team. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is still a tremendous thrower of the football. Breece Hall is a great back, and Braylon Allen, the rookie out of Wisconsin, they got a real find in the middle of the middle rounds of the draft to spell Breece Hall. They have, you know, great receiving depth and talent. They went out and invested in two starting offensive tackles, veteran guys, but two starting offensive tackles. This is a team that's in win-now mode. They have pushed all their chips to the middle of the table. They've thrown in the deed to the land. They've thrown it all into the middle of the table. And as someone was joking about with me, their former head coach, he's in the middle of the table too. He got fired. I mean, this is clearly a team that is absolutely win-now. And they do not want to leave Pittsburgh with a 2-5 record. That is a huge hole to overcome. I know Aaron Rodgers, told everybody to relax a few years ago, but that would be hard to relax if you're the Jets and you're 2-5. You know, on the other hand, the Steelers, the throwback uniforms, Mike Tomlin always has his team ready. Yeah. They're always ready for Sunday night primetime games. I mean, I really cannot wait to see this matchup, Steve. Can't wait for it.
I mean, I feel like I'm watching the scene in Casino Royale where all in.
Yeah,
that's what this game is. Rob,
the best bond, Steve.
Yeah. Best bond. Believe it or not, as somebody who loved Connery, and I thought Connery was great, Daniel Craig.
Phenomenal.
Where are you?
I think that those bonds. Now, I went back and read all the books at one time many years ago, and the Daniel Craig character is much more, even more than Connery, much more like the sort of hard scrabble Bond from the books. So that made me lean toward him, and I think Casino Royale is, I think that's my favorite one. So anyway, sorry to digress.
Hey, everybody has to have fun in life. You and I know how to have fun, Rob. Come on.
No doubt.
I know you have to get out of here. I appreciate the time, so I'm not going to hold you up any longer, but it was a blast talking to you, and I can't wait for Sunday as well.
Steve, you're the best, man. I appreciate you having me on anytime, and always love catching up with you.
Thanks so much. The great Rob King, what a job he's done as the voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you'll hear them on 100.9 The Valley, which is also the home of Lewisburg football, where you'll hear with Greg Wetzel tonight. Got a big matchup this evening. Looking forward to that. We do have the King, by the way, coming up today. The King will, by the way, yes, the King will arrive today. Do you know that? I texted him. He says, okay.
I feel like we should find some pomp and circumstance or something.
That's when the suit comes on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, I know he hasn't been in the building for about 2 or 3 weeks, because normally when he arrives at the station, we have people, his people, that roll out the red carpet, and they play pomp and circumstance when he walks in.
Let's be honest, it's roll out the barrels.
I'll let you have the mic drop on that one here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
October is truck month at Summary Motors with over 100 new trucks to choose from.
Sun, ride with the sun, Sunbury Motors.
SMC has 12 of the hard-to-find Ford Maverick trucks, priced as low as $27,890, and they get up to 42 miles per gallon. Pick from over 40 of the number one selling truck in the world, the Ford F-150, and Sunbury Motors has them slashed up to $12,416, and 4x4 Super Cruise are priced from just $46,874. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century. Hurry, sale ends Halloween Eve, October 31st.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Yes, the King will be on. Yes. It's great to have Rob King on tonight. Rob's done a great job. You know what I like about what Rob's done to this point? Is that he has just gone out and he's been the first Rob King. He hasn't gone out to be a... He has not gone out to, try to replace Bill Hillgrove. He hasn't done that. And that's, that is to his credit. I think that's important that he's done that. And he sounds great. Great job. Tony Bennett stepped down today. Officially at Virginia. I don't even know if they named a coach, did they? I don't think they did.
I don't think they said it. They made it sound like it was going to be, I believe the guy's name is Rob Perez, who's his top assistant.
Who has head coaching experience. He'd been the head coach at Charlotte at one point. So that's probably what enters into it. And look, I understand where he's coming from. There's a certain way that he has gone about building his program. Everything's been turned upside down. And look, there are a number of people that are listening to the show right now. Look, there's some people that are happy at their job, some people are okay at it, and some people are like, they're miserable going to their job. And I feel awful for them because obviously... I've got one of those jobs everybody would love to have. And the difference between Tony Bennett and those who are like, oh, God, I got to go to work today. The difference between Tony Bennett and them is that he is, because of his job and the pay, he's got the means to walk away. And you could just tell he was miserable going to work. It's not just dealing with. To be honest with you, the young people today, I think some people want to think that they're different than young people of the past. In a lot of ways, in my opinion, of being around them, they are not, Todd. I think the young people are pretty much the same. What's different to me are the people around them. And I am not, that's not targeting parents, because there are exponentially more people around them than parents. You've got some great parents out there that have a really terrific perspective on it. But, you know, what if, you know, but, you know, they've got agents, they've got some entourage, maybe, depending on who they are. You know, and it's not, and sometimes the parent doesn't have any control over what's going on. And that's, I mean, that's what's really changed in the game.
Well, you know what I think? You can go to greener pastures. You can get more money. You can go someplace else. You know, they're hearing all the whispers all the time. Go ahead. Follow the suit. The suit will bring you to freedom.
That reminds me of the Charlie Steiner Sports Center commercial.
I know. Follow me. Follow me to freedom. Y2K. But you see what I mean? It's like there's so many other voices around them. Now, sometimes it is the parents. Sometimes. Most times not, but sometimes. Sometimes it's others. You're like, oh. And you have to, as a coach now, you've got to deal with all the voices. I swear that for a lot of coaches, I mean, I'd have to ask this. This is just an observation. They love coaching practice because coaching practice is their sanctuary and they can teach. And that's why they got into the profession. And then the second they step off the practice field, they have to check their phone. And when they check their phone, the job takes a turn.
Every day, Cintas service reps help businesses get ready for the workday. They provide freshly laundered workwear delivered every week. Mats, mops, restroom and cleaning supplies. First aid and safety products to help your employees stay safe. They even test and inspect fire extinguishers and emergency lights. Cintas helps keep your business running smoothly. See what Cintas can do for you. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Before we get to the king, we take you back 1 year ago today.
Take the air out of it.
Symptom Felker on a high snap. Will hand it. Big hole for Baker. The offensive line just pushing the Cornell guys. This reminds me of what Lafayette did. The Bucknell's defensive line literally pushing them five. Oh, goodness. You okay, Kevin? Kevin has broken the chair. You okay, bud?
That's going to leave a mark.
But I'm sorry, folks. You okay?
Yeah, I think so. Got stabbed in the back by something, though.
Pick up a four. I mean, the offensive line.
I knew this place didn't like me, but I didn't think it was sabotage.
To the 44th, second and six. Here comes a handoff. Baker, he's going to cut it outside to the left. He'll gain a yard or so and then get wrapped up by Holt and company. And also out there is Malin White, the backup safety, and he'll bring him down.
Do we have workman's comp?
You have to check with Learfield on that
one. All right.
At the 42, it's going to be a big third down and 5 for Bucknell, leading 21-13 over Cornell, 4:08 left. And Kevin's giving me the big thumbs up.
We're good. I got checked out by the trainer. I can go back in.
You and Ralph Rucker were injured today.
I can go back in now. Little bumped up, but I'm ready to play, Coach.
Are you okay?
Yeah, we're good.
He was leaning back, Todd, and the back broke off his chair.
I am going to have so much fun with that on the ride home.
Where is the Learfield camera in the booth?
I was going to say, if Steve and Jack don't have this with their Learfield booth camera, let's not have that camera in here at all anytime soon.
Not everybody can gracefully fall off the chair like he does. 1 year ago today. Thank you, Doug Birdsong, for reminding us. There you go, Todd. Not everybody's like that. King is with us. Hello? Anybody?
Hello?
There he is. There's one.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I saw you on Instagram last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you commented on some Penn State player who took the hardest hit ever. Some big dude playing in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but Big Ten Network came in and recorded that with me, 5 years ago, maybe? That was a long time ago.
That was a heck of a hit.
Oh, he destroyed him. I mean, it's like, ooh. I still feel it today.
Did he get hurt bad, like forever hurt?
No. But, I mean, but he got tagged.
That was quite a pop. So.
Yeah, but no, it was not, other than being out the rest of that game, no. No, he actually was back the next game. But it was quite the hit. Yeah, Instagram.
What year was that? Because Woodson was playing then.
That would be 2000. No, I'm sorry. That would be 1997. I want to say it was the 97 game, 98 game.
You were probably stadium announcer.
Yeah, 98 game. I think it was 1998. Something like that, 97 or 98.
What year? Stadium announcer. That was cool.
Well, I remember when I moved over to play-by-play. Oh God, yeah. Yeah,
somebody
snowballs.
Better tell that. Tell that idiot to shut up. I said it's your son. I was so, remember the snowballs?
Oh, I remember because they kept coming down and they kept handing me the exact copy to read. Exact copy to read.
And I told them that. I told, well, you know, I mean, Dad was...
Oh, I know. Well, I remember, though...
All together there at that point, but...
I moved over to the play-by-play booth, and Mom asked me about, well, are you sure you want to give up the stadium deal? Now, I didn't want to tell her what the pay was, but I told her what the percentage increase was. And she went, you made the right choice. There was a pause for about 30 seconds. You made the right choice. I said, no kidding.
Well, that particular game, that was that the guy in front of me and Dad, we were sitting Indian style on the snow. There was like a foot of snow in the stadium. And the idiot, he was so drunk in front of us. He had one of those hats on. I don't know if the hat was for Michigan against Michigan State or Michigan-Ohio State.
Right.
what was called the game, and it was like his pride and joy. But it kept falling off and falling
Ohio
off.
State. Wow.
So I took it and I buried it in the snow. And I was looking for it. He's a jerk. Dad looked and goes, "You gotta give him his hat." I said, "No, he's driving me crazy. Just bury his hat. He can come back in the spring and find it." So that was a mean thing I did. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a good game last week.
Yeah, no, that was exciting, and it's sometimes it's not just that you win the game. Sometimes it's how you win it, and how they won it was significant. So,
well, he's got to win those games, and I'm talking about Franklin. I'm just from the outside of Pennsylvania. I'm sure inside Pennsylvania it's the same, but from outside and the reporters. His image is he can't win those big games, and this was a good win for him, you know.
Well, for everybody, they felt that way because you know Drew Aller came up big on the last drive, but not only that, but instead of punting, which they could have, they had three timeouts remaining. He went for it twice on fourth down. James did. In other words, look, you know what? We're going to throw all the eggs into this basket, going to tie the game right here. And Julian Fleming made two big catches, good throws by Aller, who wasn't sacked the entire day, by the way. And then they were able to get the touchdown pass to Singleton. And the interesting part about the touchdown pass to Singleton, where he's the third read on that play, is that was the play, the exact play where Drew threw an interception on early in the game, and they had enough confidence in him and the play that they felt they could go back to it there, and it paid off.
And he has enough confidence in himself to make the play. I was impressed by him big time. Obviously, number 44 is one of the best athletes to ever play there. That I have never seen that snap on the end of the line. And I saw him snap it. The announcers on TV didn't pick up on it, that he was snapping the ball when the play took place. But then one of them said that they do that in flag football all the time, but he had never really seen it done on this level. So what a good call.
They'd worked on it, but it should be pointed out that a lot of people don't realize this. Penn State played Michigan last year. And when they scored a touchdown, they ran a two-point conversion last year where they did shift and Tyler did snap it, right?
Okay.
And then he was actually open. It was in the south end zone and going toward the west side, so the near side as I saw it. And he was open, but Drew was – and there was a direct snap to Drew. There was no pass out and back and things like that. And Drew just didn't see him early enough. But they actually did run a version of that play last year for a two-point conversion play. So it's the second time in a game he has now snapped it.
I mean, how many pages do they have in their playbook? Holy cow. I have never seen so many formations in a game. All different formations, and they're getting better at it. I think at like three or four more games, they're going to be hard to figure out.
I think
they're going to get better and better at it, you know? I mean, they were kind of screwing themselves up a little bit doing it because it's so, you know, confusing. But, my gosh. What's his name? Tyler Warren?
Yeah. Yep.
He is a tremendous athlete and a tremendous football player. I thought him and Allard were just tremendous. Allard with his confidence. Yeah. Hey, you can throw an interception. Who cares? You know, that's football. You got to get right back out there and do it again. That's all. Don't be scared off. But like Seth Curry, just shoot. Not going to go in if you don't shoot. You're not going to complete a pass if you don't throw it. So.
Well, Warren's funny because we had to go to Harrisburg as a group. And then because of the weight of the plane, it's just easier to take off from Harrisburg than it is here. And we flew back into here, but at that point, you know, the plane's out of fuel, so it's lighter. And I was on bus 5 on the way down to Harrisburg to the airport. But according to the itinerary, that once we landed in Los Angeles, I would shift over to bus 4. Okay, whatever. And so I get on bus 4, and Tyler's sitting there with a couple of the other tight ends. He was there with Khalil Dinkins and Luke Reynolds. And Tyler looks at me and goes, "Hey, Mr. Jones, welcome to the bus with the dregs of society."
He calls you Mr. Jones?
Yeah. Yeah, I always tell everybody the same thing. Just call me Steve. Don't do that. Don't call me Mr. Jones. The one that makes me sit back and go, "You got to be kidding me," is when students in class will email me, and they're doing it to be polite. So I appreciate that, right? "Dear Professor Jones," and I always tell them every time, calling me a professor is an insult to professors. All right, so don't do that.
Well, you are a professor. What's wrong with that? Oh, for goodness,
I'm a teacher. So, these guys have
degrees.
You're
going to another Hall of Fame this weekend, are you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes,
well, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's no speech or anything involved. It's pretty easy. I just stand there, get a jacket, get a plaque, wave. But I'm deeply,
Did I give a speech? No, I didn't give a speech.
I gave the speech on tape.
I just took pictures.
Fun
night.
This is it's Center County. When you've lived here a long time, I'm deeply humbled by it. So it's really, you spend all this time here, and somebody thinks you can be recognized. That's kind of cool. So I don't want to. It's so I'll make sure I'm there. I'll make sure.
Well, you got to go to a ton of them.
Yeah, I know. But they deliberately planned it for the. They always planned it on a bye weekend anyway. So.
They did do it on purpose.
Oh yeah, no. For every year they've had it, they always do it on the bye weekend. So.
Why on Sunday?
I don't know.
that was a drawback for me. I mean, Sunday, I can't do Sunday. So.
Yeah, but Kev, I'm not even making a speech because I was asked by, like, for example, my daughter, Megan, and I'm saying that so people know in the audience who people are. You know, my son, Chris, my son, Dan, I told them not to go. I said, look, I said, it's like I'm not making a speech or anything like that. I don't want them to waste a lot of time and their money doing that. Right?
That's how I felt.
Yeah. But no, and the same way with you.
What a waste of time and money.
No, but I'm saying, though, it's not like I'm making a speech where I'm recognizing a lot of people and I can say something about the people that are there.
Mm-hmm. You're just going to stand up.
Yeah, I mean, stand up. There's a video, which is, they do a great job with it because there's 11 of us. So they're just trying to keep it moving. I mean, it's really smart
Matt
how they.
Matt Suey's one of them, right?
Yeah, Matt Suey is one, yes. So he's one. Jimmy Martin, who won the NCAA Wrestling Championship, is another. It's like I said, it's humbling even to be mentioned in the same sentence with them. That's why I told the kids, right? I said, like, guys, like, that's a long way to go, quote, just for that. In other words, that's my way of taking any guilt off their plate. I don't want them to feel guilty about, I should go, it's for that. You know what I mean? No.
Well, you know what, Steve, there's going to be more. So you'll be in the Penn State one and the. You'll probably be 90, but...
I'll be 90 years old.
Over here, Mr. Jones. Ward will be 60 years old. He'll still be calling to Mr. Jones.
Oh, yeah. Could somebody get Mr. Jones's walker? That'd be great.
Over here.
Keep going.
Hey, trust me, I live in a retirement village. It's sad sometimes. They're all my friends. They're good friends.
And yeah.
The thing with a retirement village is you see the ambulance come whipping in with the lights on,
right.
And then it leaves with the lights off. Yeah. And you know that's not good.
So. It's not good. No, in fact, I have to make a speech to a retirement village. Actually, an election day. It's November 5th. They asked me to speak to it's called the Village of Penn State. And I told them I'd go over and do it. I mean,
it will be the thrill of their day. Because they have nothing to do and they get so bored, you know. It's something for them to do. I love where I live, but that's the drag part of it. It can be sad, you know. I mean, that cornhole league that I run there, it's packed. Yeah. And they didn't want it to end. I said, it's got to end at some point, you know.
Yeah.
They want to keep doing it. Even if it's only an hour a week, it's something to go do because they just, you know.
A friend of mine asked me to go over and do it. And, you know, when it comes to alleviating boredom, I'm the key. So, there you go. I'm here. I've got a 3-day stretch there where I'm doing that on Tuesday, then the quarterback club on Wednesday, and the basketball club on Thursday. And then I got a basketball game on Friday night, and I've got a game. In fact, that week, Saturday I've got a game, football game. Sunday I'm okay. Monday, I've got a basketball game on the 4th. I have that speech to make on Tuesday, quarterback club on Wednesday, basketball club on Thursday, another basketball game on Friday, another football game on Saturday. For goodness. I'm not digging ditches. I'm good.
you're one of the fortunate ones that gets to do what you always wanted to do.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly.
I got no complaints. I mean, we got so much work here, it's unbelievable. I don't know why, but...
Good.
I just took in a huge job right before I called, and I hate the job. It's just really hard to bend, and I got 159 of them to bend now. I just shipped them 90, and now they want 159. Now I'm like, oh, God. But the money's good. So, anyway... I wanted to ask you quickly, because we're going to run out of time, what happened at the end of the game where the USC still had 3 timeouts left with 15 seconds left? Why didn't they stop the clock at all?
I don't know, and Jack and I were both confused by that. Now, I realize you're trying to, in regulation, you're trying to massage the clock in such a way where you can get, okay, we're going to run Lance out and kick a field goal, and then that's it. But they mismanaged that part, and they left themselves with no time. And then, of course, Jalen Reed was able to get the interception effect, to be honest with you. If they don't trip Reed up at midfield, I mean, because we have the wide view of it, Jack and I thought he had an excellent chance of scoring. So, we thought, like, we knew what the intent was.
Three timeouts of 15 seconds, and why do you still have 3 timeouts?
Right.
They should have won that game if they managed it right.
Well, I mean,
not that I wanted them to.
Right.
But.
Well, we both knew what the intent was, but with 3 timeouts, you can achieve the goal by using a timeout to buy yourself just a little extra time, because they were trying to run the clock out on Penn State. And to be honest, they almost acted like they weren't confident enough to do it.
Yeah, they ended up helter-skelter because of it.
Yeah.
They didn't have to be. Actually, Penn State called a timeout.
Yeah.
Stopped the clock.
Yeah.
I was very surprised that a coach of that level would be basically caught flat-footed right there. He looked confused, like he didn't know what to do. So,
right. I think part of it, too, I think may have been the way Penn State came back and tied them. It may have just thrown them all for a loop, and they just lost track of what they were doing. I have no idea.
Your defense was tremendous in the second half. So,
well, Penn State, people don't realize.
It was I was shocked that they came back because they were so lethargic. And you're right, the USC is a good football team, but they make a lot of mistakes.
Oh, sure they do, and that's their problem. But what people don't realize is that after falling behind 17-3, Penn State actually outscored USC 30-13 the rest of the game.
Yeah. No, I saw that right away. You outplayed them completely, but you got to be careful. You can't keep falling behind like that.
No. I mean,
you do that with Ohio State, you're going to lose the game.
You do that with Wisconsin. That's next. So can't do that with Wisconsin. Next Saturday night, they're playing a lot better. They're going to play Northwestern.
Come back to life.
But that happens. You know what?
Oh, he's going to be fine. Yeah. He hasn't been there. He didn't even get to pick his team. He's a good guy. I like him. So.
Yeah, we all like Billy.
Can't help but root for Bill O'Brien. He's a good man.
I like him. Well, there you go.
Well, congratulations on another Hall of Fame, and I'll make sure I'm at your Penn State one.
Okay, great. Perfect.
It will be it. Way to go.
Well,
see you later.
See ya. Well, Todd, you get the mic drop moment of the show. That was well done.
It was my only contribution today on air.
You did great. You always do great. Don't forget high school football tonight. All three stations, everybody in bounce back mode. Lewisburg on 100.9, the Valley Seals, Grove and Eagle 107, and on WKOK Shikellamy.